Good morning, beloved. A very big thank you, first of all, for all that you have given and made available. Over the last weeks, you have given more than $75,000 to go and help our brothers and sisters there. Can we just give God a big thank you for his provision? This morning, Denny was sharing with me that their organization is sending 8 pallets of medical supplies to a situation just south of Kiev via Romania, transported by the UN. And for those of you who feel that you still want to contribute to this horrific situation, please feel free to give just with a note on it via the app or at the office. The partners there can use it in an amazing way. God wants us in times like this to pray and to give and to encourage. And this is what Pavel was asking us this morning. And may I ask you, would you mind this morning just standing as we pray again for the situation in the Ukraine, please? Lord, it's times like this, we do not even know how to pray. But you've said to us, your Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we just want to stand strong and stand firm in you and pray for Pavel and his wife and the grandchildren in Lithuania. Thank you for Brian and Sandy that can be there and be an encouragement to them. We pray for his children that went back. Lord, protect them. He used the word miracle, and that's been a cry of our heart. God, do a miracle in that situation. Do a miracle in the leaders that are involved, please. Remove the veil that they can see the light, God. And for all those that have met you during these very, very difficult times, I pray that you will comfort them and encourage them, please, that they will walk strongly with you. Lord, I pray your blessing on each one in our community that have contributed and given for those that are suffering in that situation. Bless those that are helping the refugees coming out, filling the trains with food to go back. Oh God, give us more ways of serving the people in the Ukraine, please. And we pray, Father, that your kingdom will come there and that your will be done, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Some of you may remember Stephen Maposa that was here last week. You remember him from Africa, my neighbor. He shared with us about the amazing opportunities that they have to reach children in Africa. And from your gifts, not to the Ukraine, from another pot, if I may call it that way, the church has given him $10,000 to be able to extend God's kingdom in Africa. And again, we just want to say a big thank you for your generosity. This morning, we are continuing in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. We're going to start there. John uses 2 terms to address his people. The one I've used already this morning, beloved. The other term that he uses is little children. Beloved, he uses 6 times in this letter, and little children, he uses 7 times in this letter. I thought I'm not going to survive if I call you little children this morning. But let me explain the meaning, and then you will also embrace that. Beloved means you are deeply loved by God. Little children means you are deeply loved by us, by your brothers and sisters that are here. And I want to see these as the 2 bookends for this passage that we'll be looking at today. You are deeply loved by God, and you are deeply loved by us. The background to this book, just to refresh our memories, John was writing to the churches, house churches in the present-day Turkey, and the battle that they were facing was there were many false prophets coming in, and they wanted to sway them to think differently around the person of Jesus Christ. Many of you may not know what this is, especially if you are from the younger generation. I spoke to some of them, and they said, we've never seen anything like this. In Africa, it's very, very useful and helpful. It's a plumb line. We use it to build buildings straight. Even if you use it, it doesn't always work, but it is supposed to work. So this is a plumb line. Amos talk about it. The plumb line. And what does this show up? It shows up anything that is crooked. And this was what John was saying to the church there in Turkey. He says, this plumb line is Christ. And I want to write you a letter so that you have a standard with which you can identify all the evil that is being spoken or all the deception that is taking place. And in this passage, he addresses three of them. He wants them to know, first of all, that Jesus abides in us by his Holy Spirit. Second one, Jesus came in the flesh, but he was also God. And he also said to them, those that are in you are greater than he that's in the world. And the third one, he wants them to know Christ, because by knowing Christ and listening to John and his letters will strengthen them. And that is what we want to look at today, at those three points that he mentioned to them there. Let's just pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, we come to you as beloved. You deeply love us. We also come as little children, deeply loved by one another. And we come and park at your feet today to come and listen to what your Spirit wants to teach us. Lord, our world is upside down. We need you, Lord. Will you speak to us, please? Will you be the plumb line today by whom we can orientate our lives? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Verse 24 of chapter 3, that's the last verse. And then we're going to go through the next six verses in chapter 4 as well. We're just going to journey with him verse by verse. So just follow with me, please. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. Can I ask you just to look up for a moment, please? This bowl represents God. And he says, whoever abides in him and he in them. Can you see how totally we are encompassed by God? Those keep his commandments. And he just mentioned his two commandments. He said the two ones in the previous verse is to love one another and to keep his commandments. His commandments are not difficult. Love God and love one another. And by this we know, the second half of verse 24, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So God is abiding in us through his Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is his Son, Jesus Christ. We are totally surrounded, filled with the presence of God in our lives. And that is what he says to the churches there. He says, this will cause you not to fluctuate. This will cause you to be a plumb line and not a pendulum swinging back and forth every day. Our God does not get defined by what's happening in this world. Your ups and downs does not define God. God has defined himself to us. We've just sang it so beautifully. Doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I feel. Your promises are true to me. The war doesn't define who God is. We have many questions about the war. I myself struggle, wrestle with it. But the war doesn't define my God. He has defined himself to us. And he says to the church there, he says he lives within us. The best way to describe this is to see our lives as a house. Jesus came and he knocked on the door of our house, Revelation says, and we opened it up and we welcomed him in. And his light and his love flooded our lives. I'll never forget that day when I accepted Jesus. My whole life changed. That love and light was indescribable, that peace of knowing him. But our lives have many rooms, and it doesn't necessarily mean when you made that decision to follow Jesus, you have handed over all the keys. It's the best thing to do that, please. But many of us hold on to these keys because we are afraid, we are ashamed, we are guilty. There is unforgiveness, many things in these rooms. Recently, in Australia, I read an article about a man that died. He was old, and after a few days, the neighbors didn't notice any movement, so they called the police and says, better for you to investigate. So they went and they found the man that he has died. But then they started walking through the house, and they found one door with a big lock on it. They broke open the door, but the stench was overwhelming. And then they pieced the puzzle together. 3 years ago, a man was reported missing. And he was a burglar, and he broke into this man's house, and this man killed him. But he didn't want to be prosecuted and go through all the whole ordeal. So he put him in a box underneath a bed in a spare bedroom. And they found on the floor 50 of these air freshener cans. And I think many of you have also come on an air freshener run this morning, just to get some fresh air, because we've not unlocked all the doors in our lives. We sit with hatred, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, many things in our lives. What God is asking from us is holiness. If we want to stay away from the deception of the enemy, we need to live holy lives. We need to have our lives cleansed by God. Like many of you, I shared that already. Karen and I got COVID over Christmas in South Africa. We were having the symptoms for 1 week, and then 1 week I was just totally tired, exhausted, one of the aftermaths of COVID. And as I was lying there in the bed, feeling sorry for myself, felt the Lord say, this is a good time for us to talk. And he went with me through my house, my spiritual house, and he unlocked every door. He unlocked every drawer. He unlocked every cupboard. For the whole week, I lay there in repentance. And every time when there is some resistance, he would say to me, do you want to accommodate the smell, or do you want to accommodate light and love? Do you choose life, or do you choose death? I put this choice before you. Every time I submitted, it was so deep, the cleansing. Yeah, every day I say to God, I'm sorry for what I've done and said wrong. But it went deep through attitudes, it went deep through lusts, it went deep through many parts of my life. But the cleansing was so beautiful afterwards when you look at it. The first thing John is saying to the congregation, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, dwells within you. He abides in you. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, in other words, you that are deeply loved by God, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. Pastor Bill will be with us next week again, but he just a month and a half ago, shared with us about the two kingdoms. This verse talks about the two kingdoms. We mostly think we are living in a physical world where we see, hear, feel, touch, and smell. And we orientate our actions and our reactions towards what we see, feel, taste, feel and smell. But there is a huge spiritual kingdom that we don't see. In Africa, it's much more real in the sense that it's in our face. Here, it is equally real. It's just so nicely sugar-coated that you don't even recognize it. It goes along the line of, I am on the throne. It's about me feeling good, looking good, and living good. John was writing to them and say, please understand that the kingdom of darkness, the evil world, the spirits of this world is trying to lure you. The names of Satan is he's a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a murderer. He's come to rob and steal and destroy. Anything that God wants to do, he opposes 100%. I don't know if you've had the experience, but sometimes when you spend time with a person, you are so aware of God's presence in their lives, so aware of God's love just flowing out of them. It's not them. It's the Spirit of God that is within them, flowing through them. But we've also had the other side, that some people that you connect with, you just sense, but things are off here. There is a sense of evil. There is a sense of harm here. Again, evil spirits working through that person. We are merely hosting the spiritual world, what is happening. And beloved, little children, there is no neutral ground in God's kingdom. Either you are part of the kingdom of darkness or you are part of the kingdom of light of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in between. And then he says in verse 2, by this you know, and this term he uses three times in this passage, by this you know, by this you know, by this you know, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. What was happening there was the false prophets were going out and saying, God is a holy God, and everything in this world is evil, dirty, sinful. How can a holy God send his son to touch evil and sin? The people in John's day struggled to believe God's humanity. We struggle today to believe his divinity. Just north of us, our neighbors have just issued a law that came to power. I think it's C-15, where they talk about the myth of conversion. Conversion is not a myth. There is a big difference between a myth and a mystery. A mystery is you don't know the answer, but there is truth behind it. A myth is it's a concoction that you have thought up. Jesus Christ is no concoction that any man thought of. He's the Savior of the world. He's the living God. By this you know the Spirit of God. What they were struggling was with the humanity of God. God sending his son. I'm just going to put down a few blocks for us to identify. The moment you begin to tamper with these blocks, try to remove them from the person of who Christ is, you are opening yourself up to demonic lies, to the evil spirits, convincing you of other things that is not true. He says clearly, those that know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Let's start with a virgin birth. Why is it so important to believe that? The first Adam, God breathed life into him. He and his wife sinned, and he brought all of mankind into that sinful relationship. And we came out of a corrupted seed. We were all born from that seed of corruption from the first Adam. God so desired to be reconciled with us that he sent his son Jesus, the second Adam. proverbially, it doesn't stand in scripture, he breathed again into Mary's womb. From incorruptible seed, his son was born, so that he could die for our sins. Nicodemus said to him, when Jesus said to him, you need to be born again, he says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? He said to him, no, Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. You need to be born from incorruptible seed. Can you see, if you deny the virgin birth, that you lose out on that understanding that each one of us have been born from corruptible seed. When we enter his kingdom, we are born from above, from incorruptible seed. That's why this life never ends. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. If you are born from corruptible seed, you die. He lived a sinful, sinless life. He was tempted in the same way you and I are tempted, but he didn't sin, because he died for our sins when he was blameless. He suffered. He was crucified so that he could identify with our suffering. He was crucified and he died. He took all our sins, all our shame, all our wickedness, all our guilt, all our sickness. He took upon him on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. He conquered sin and death and hell. He went back to the Father, he ascended, and he said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, but I'm coming back. He is returning soon. He also said to them, I give you the Holy Spirit. He will lead you in all truth. He will dwell within you. That is what John is writing to the church. Do you confess Jesus? Do you believe that he became man? The second one that he says is verse 3. He says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Any spirit that says, but Jesus did not come as God, is evil, wicked. Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, when was that? Before Genesis, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is so critical, it looks so simple, it looks so fundamental, but John is taking them back to the plumb line to say, these are the truths. There are no other truths about God, and you need to believe them. If you begin to shake in those, the enemy will deceive you and lie to you. And then he says it, and he unpacks it beautifully. He says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, the second sentence in verse 3, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Again, the illustration that we've just said, the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in this world. He's already against anything God is doing. But the Antichrist is coming in the last days, and this spirit of the Antichrist will fill the Antichrist, and then he will do all the wickedness that he has to do. Again, the spiritual world manifesting itself in the physical world. Then he says, verse 4, little children, so you are beloved and you are little children, dearly loved by us. You are from God. You are from God. You are from God and have overcome them. He uses this word overcome 6 times in this letter. Overcome means there has been a battle involved in this process. So often in Africa, when we would show the Jesus film, we go to the remotest areas. And what is so beautiful about the film is that it is in the local languages, so people understand it. Many of them, it's the first time in their lives that they've seen a film. And then they would be fascinated by it, don't really know how to engage, interact with what is happening on the screen. And when the moment of decision comes, when people have to receive Jesus, somebody would jump up and shout, snake, snake! And everybody would run away. Because we are terrified in Africa of snakes, very venomous, poisonous snakes in Africa. The evil one, disrupting what God wants to do, then we need to do what this verse says. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We stand there and we pray. We said, Lord, you who are in us, you who are in us is greater than he who is in the world. And then it takes about 10, 15 minutes for the people to calm down. And then God normally comes and do a huge harvest of people that says, we want to follow you. Verse 5. Sorry, let me just add one more thought. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In other words, little children, dearly beloved, God is living in you. Don't live a life of fear. That is the bottom line. Do not live a life of fear. So the first thing that he says, we are abiding. The second thing that he said to us, we confess Jesus. His spirit that is in us confesses Jesus. Both his divinity and his humanity, and he that is in us is greater than he is in the world. In other words, there is no room for fear. Let's look at verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Who are they? The false prophets. Can I put it in a little bit other language? They are from the evil world, therefore they speak from the evil world, and the evil world listens to them. 1 John 5 verse 9, if you just turn your book a few pages on, it says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You do not see him every day. You are seeing his manifestations through the lives of other people as they are lost, as they are deceived, as they believe lies. And that is why it's so important where John says to them, you need to confess. Confess has two meanings. First, you need to believe it in your own heart. And secondly, you need to tell them about it. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. And then verse 6, he says the opposite. We are from God. Can I say again? We are from God. Whoever knows God, and this know is not just, oh, I've heard about Jesus. This know is an intimacy, a deep knowing, a knowing of being born again by incorruptible seed. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we put this together? How do we go from here? He's writing to the church, and he's saying to the church in Turkey, you need to stand very firm. The truth is very, very clear. There is one God, and he came as the Savior of this world. Do not allow to swing back and forth and allow all kinds of truth. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are living in the presence of God. You are confessing Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And you are listening to him. I love our church's vision. Our church says, pursue God. Can I suggest this is the first action point? What can we do about all of this? Beloved, let's pursue God. Can I ask you to do, not to do what I did. When I read about this demonic world, this spiritual world of Satan, I spent so much time studying that. And it led me astray. Yes, go and study what the Word says about God and what it says about the kingdom of darkness. But don't go beyond that. Our focus is not the enemy. You will not understand God better by studying the enemy. Studying the truth. Study God. Learn to know God. Pursue God is what we are saying. Matthew shared with us so beautifully the other day. It takes discipline. We don't like the word discipline in the day in which we are living. Can I use a different word? Develop habits. habits of spending time with Jesus every day. Pick up manna every day. He wants to speak to you. You are His beloved. You are His little children. Pray. Worship. Come together. The second one our church loves to communicate is we build community. Become part of a group. The last point he says, you cannot know the truth unless you are engaging, interacting with others. When this war in the Ukraine started, when it was going on for a week, I was frustrated in myself. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to respond to what's happening there. And then I met with a few brothers, and it was so precious to hear their input, their insight. And it just gave me hope again to pray in new ways, to engage in new ways. Build community, engage in one of the groups. And if you can't find a group that you like, start your own group. Just talk to Carl about it. Maybe others would like to join your group as well. And the third one, engage the world. It was so sad for me. I only came to know about it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But in the United Kingdom, the British Parliament has just appointed a minister of loneliness. Have you heard about that? A minister of loneliness. Why? 1/5 of the population is struggling immensely with loneliness, and COVID has even boosted that. The impact of the economy, don't quote me on the figure, something like £30 billion per annum. And she has been appointed to see if she cannot resolve this. Can I ask you from God's perspective? Love is not something to be lavished upon you. Yeah, it's great when you receive it. But love is a verb. God taught us love is to give. So engage the world. Go, give, pray, engage. Love others. That will keep us from the enemy deceiving us, believing his lies, trying for us to believe something different what God has said in his word. I want to give you an invitation this morning. The first one is those of you that have never met Jesus, you are still in this kingdom of darkness. You have never decided to follow Jesus, to enter His kingdom. Today is the day of salvation. I want to invite you. We love you. We would so enjoy welcoming you into God's kingdom. If you've not done that, please come and pray with us. I'll also pray with you in a moment. The second group is those of you whose houses are not in order. You have a room full of stink somewhere, unforgiveness, bitterness, and you've tried all kinds of air fresheners. Beloved, air fresheners does not work. You need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. Your house is not in order, and you want to ask God, forgive me, please. The third one is, maybe you have fallen lukewarm, maybe even cold. You have distanced yourself from God. Maybe because of the war, things happened, your family, whatever it may be. And you just want to come back to God and say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. God, that your presence will be evident in my life. That when I speak to people, when I engage with others, they may sense your presence. They may sense your power in my life. And then the last one, for those of you that are struggling with fear and anxiety and loneliness, if you fit any of these different ones that I've just mentioned, don't you just want to stand? I just want to pray with you this morning. Father, I have lived in darkness and I've seen your light today, and I choose to follow you, Jesus. Forgive me my sins. I accept you today. Lord, forgive me for the fear in my heart. Your word has been very clear today. We are from you. You that live in us is greater than he who is living in the world. I give my fears to you today and ask you to fill me with faith, please. Heavenly Father, my house is not in order. I've been hiding many things. I've been stubborn and strong-willed. I surrender today. I pray that you will fill my whole house with your love and light. I hand over all the keys, Lord. I choose life today. Lord, I pray that you will come and fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, that I may live and walk in your light and in your love. Thank you. Thank you for the new life. Thank you for your forgiveness. You've come to make all things new. And Lord, as we sing this final song of blessing, we receive this blessing from you this morning. You are such an amazing God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.